From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Mark Report. It's the ninth day of July 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group. He's in Decatur, Illinois. In agricultural news, Iowa's Senator Harkin says he plans to incorporate all the farmer-friendly measures of the House-passed climate change bill into the version the Senate will debate. South Korea has a central database that tracks cattle. It wants to impose those domestic traceback rules on imported beef. And the developing nations of the world, including China, say if the world economy does not rebound soon, they'll start using their WTO-allowed trade barriers. We'll have details of these and other stories shortly. And then at the end of the half hour, we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support for WILL comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks by developing dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is at stuart-peterson.com.
In Chicago, on this Thursday afternoon, futures finish in the wheat pit like this. Soft red at 494 and a quarter, up 5 3/4 for the harvest month July. September at 522 and a quarter, 5 cents higher, and December futures at 548 and a half, up 5 1/4. July corn futures today, 343 and a half, 4 1/4 higher. September at 329 and a half, up 4 1/4. And December futures at $3.40, 5 3/4 cents higher. The March corn, 353 1/4, up 5 1/2. May contract at 562 1/4, up 5 3/4. July soybean futures, $11.10, up 26 1/2. The August at 1047 1/2, 32 1/2 higher. And September soybeans at $9.73, a settlement price up 29 1/2. The November harvest month contract at $9.16, no beans, 24 cents higher today. January futures, 9.23 3/4, up 23 3/4, and the March contract at 9.26 1/2, up 26 cents. Soybean meal, July futures, 371.50, up 6.70. July soybean oil at 32.58, 50 cents higher. August live cattle futures today, 83.47 1/2, 12 1/2 higher. The October's at 88.82 1/2, up 50. August feeders, $1.30 higher at 102.95. And July lean hogs at $59.70, 77 1/2 cents higher. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Nearby crude oil futures traded the August contract to a settlement price at $60.41 a barrel, at 27 cents higher. September up 33 at $61.49. August ethanol, $1.49 even, 7/10 of a cent higher. The natural gas at $3.41 4/10, up 6 1/10 of a penny. And the RBOB gasoline at $1.66 2/10. Up 2 9/10 of a cent. Heating oil, that's diesel fuel, down 4 1/10 of a cent at $1.53 3/10. And the propane future settled the August contract at $65.07, down 3 8/10 for the day. July soybean, or rather July gold futures, $915.90 an ounce. A settlement price up $6.90. And the Dow currently trading at 82.13 is just about 34 points higher for the day. The U.S. dollar currently at 234.53 is down 11 point, rather the U.S. dollar currently at 79.86 is down 0.9. It's the CRB index at 234.53, that's down 11.3. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like today. In eastern Indiana, cloudy, lingering showers during the day, and then partly to mostly sunny for the rest of the day. Highs will range from 77 in northern Illinois to 92 in the far south. And then tonight in northwestern Illinois, mostly cloudy, some showers, thunderstorms arriving. Elsewhere, partly cloudy, lows will range from around 60 in northeastern Indiana to 72 in the western part of southern Illinois. Tomorrow in northern Illinois, mostly cloudy, showers, thunderstorms. In central Illinois and northern Indiana, partly to mostly sunny, a chance of isolated thunderstorms during the afternoon. Elsewhere, partly to mostly sunny, highs tomorrow from 80 near Lake Michigan to 93 in the far south. More on the weather at the bottom of this hour. You're listening to the Closing Market Report.
The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to Illinois Public Media on a Thursday afternoon. We're joined today to take a look at the agricultural futures markets by Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Boy, what an ugly week it has been in Chicago, at least until this day. How does it set up for you on your charts technically?
Well, the declines that we've seen the past couple weeks, or basically since the June 30th crop report or the acreage report, have been pretty devastating to the charts. Especially corn came first, beans was more so this week, and the realization, you know, that the overall crop is coming on pretty strong now. There is no doubt about it. Things are kind of uneven here in the eastern Corn Belt. But if we have favorable weather here over the next 8 to 12 weeks, we all might be surprised how good a yields we actually will end up with. But the market feels fairly comfortable with the supply at this point, based upon USDA's numbers. Tomorrow we're going to get a supply-demand revision. Most of that is pretty well worked into the market. It's kind of an aftershock, kind of, so to speak, from the June report, because once you got the June 1st stocks numbers and then you get the June acreage numbers, all your analysts will do their own calculations and kind of come up with a balance sheet of what they kind of think USDA will show us here tomorrow morning. So, barring any major surprise, and there's always room for surprises, but I don't think anybody expects to see anything a big surprise tomorrow. It'd just be more confirmation of what the June report showed us.
Well, tell me about this, the chart specifically, maybe for lead option corn or the harvest month, either one.
Well, time-wise, you could maybe argue that the corn market is trying to make a 10-week cycle low. It's a week late or so. Last week was 10 weeks. This is 11 weeks from the previous low. The big decline has put most of your technical indicators in a deeply oversold condition. So that usually encourages, short covering support. And if nothing bearish comes along as that short covering begins to develop, a lot of times that will dress up the technical picture and then we'll maybe even encourage some new buying. But I think, you know, we'll have to get through tomorrow's report without any kind of surprises. But seasonally, it's real difficult to get the market to do much this time of year if the crop is looking real good.
And on the soybean side?
Soybeans, same thing. We could be taking a look at carving out a late 8 to 9 week type cycle low. We're 10 weeks away from the previous low. Again, the indicators were all in that oversold category. Unless the market performs a pretty good rally tomorrow for some reason or the other, we're going to be down for the week, because we took such a big hit here on Tuesday that it's going to be hard for us to kind of regain the Monday Tuesday decline here in one day. So what the market will look for then next week for any kind of confirmation that maybe this decline that we've had off the June high, will want to see some follow through to the upside and maybe take out. The problem is we're going to have to try to take out this week's high to kind of get any kind of confirmation. That's a long ways up there. But the key thing will be to close out tomorrow decent. and then show some upside follow through. And I think then that would at least bring some stability into this marketplace, at least for a little while here after the big decline that we've had.
And on the wheat side of the ledger, we finally had a gap higher today in the wheat market. What'd you make of that?
Well, wheat's kind of in the same situation as corn and soybeans, deeply oversold. We've had big declines. We're ripe for a short covering rally just in front of a report. A lot of times you don't know what kind of numbers you're going to get. So I think it's mostly, I mean, if you look at a wheat chart, it's been pronouncedly down, basically since June 1st. So it is, you know, like I said, very deeply oversold, and it's ripe also for some kind of short covering bounce of some kind. Now, September wheat's going to probably have a lot of problems here up about 550. That's where the uptrend line's at, where when we went below it there last week, that'll now be probably resistance here if we can try to get something carved out here in wheat. Also, you know, we are into the July time frame, and you could begin to maybe talk about maybe the market trying to find a harvest low, season low, and then kind of go into a sideways pattern in here.
Discounting anything that might show up as a surprise tomorrow morning from USDA and its WASDE reports, what are the fundamentals that would make you hopeful for either the corn, the bean, or the wheat market?
Well, I know visiting with cash traders, they feel real optimistic on the demand side. I mean, you can just look at today's export sales numbers, sold over a million tons of both corn and soybeans. So, I mean, that does tell you there's interest in the world market for U.S. commodities. You know, the margins in ethanol have improved significantly from where they were earlier in the year. So, got to be generally supportive on the demand side of the equation. Now, the question is, you know, how big will this crop ultimately be? And we got a long time to go before that's going to be satisfied. But one would have to be generally supportive, I think, thinking that, you know, the demand numbers are going to stay fairly strong in tomorrow's reports. I think you might see some backing off of old crop demand. You may see a bubble up in ending stocks and corn tomorrow, but don't see any changes really in ending stocks of old crop beans tomorrow. And even though we do have larger bean acres, our bean crop is really late, and we're going to need a good full season there. I just got off the phone a few minutes ago talking to a farmer in deep southern Illinois. It was still planting beans. So we're going to have an awful lot of late beans, and we need a full season to get that bean crop harvested.
And did you happen to read the piece that Chris Hurt from Purdue wrote about the livestock industry, about hogs in particular, and the idea, at least from his point of view, that while the number of sows might be down, that some of the liquidation in the livestock herd for hogs that has taken place will be, of course, animals that don't produce particularly well, and that he expects the number of pigs per litter to go up so that would be enough to stabilize the total number of hogs on feed at any one point. What do you make of all of that?
Well, I missed the article, so I can't really speak to exactly what he said, but you know, I think just briefly what you explained to me, I think that makes good sense. We would at least begin to stabilize the numbers and feed demand anyway. Maybe the worst is over on the bleeding side on the feed demand.
Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
No, that's about all.
All right. Thank you so much.
Very well.
That is Dan Zwicker. He's with ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens each and every Thursday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Well, a couple of notes here. If you'd like to read what Chris Hurt had to say about the livestock industry, you can do that on the FarmDoc website. The address is www.farmdoc.uiuc.edu. Should be on the front page there. And that article would be from Chris Hurt. And, of course, there'll be an article there from Daryl Good, too, about the grain market and corn in particular. So if you'd like to visit the FarmDoc website, please do that. The address is www.farmdoc.uiuc.edu. The other website you probably ought to try to visit is our own. That website address is willag.org. It's willag.org. There we post all of our daily agricultural programming in its entirety, and you can listen to the conversation we just heard with Dan Zwicker anytime you'd like. It's at willag.org.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Well, coming up a bit later, we'll hear from Daryl Good, and Dave Dickey will be here in a moment with all the agricultural news for the afternoon. One other number for you. How about trying this out? If you can't get us on the radio or listen to us on the web at willag.org, you can always hear us at 10:15 and 3:15 daily on an updated voicemail message at 217-333-3434. We call it our mobile analyst portal. It's just a phone number you can dial up and hear the programming content from Illinois Public Media and Agriculture. It's 217-333-3434. Now here's Dave with the Ag News for the day.
In agricultural news, Senate Agriculture Committee Chairman Tom Harkin said Wednesday he plans to incorporate into the Senate climate change bill all of the farm-friendly provisions that House Agriculture Chairman Colin Peterson put into the House-passed bill and add even more benefits for agriculture. Harkin said he does not expect the Senate to take up the bill on the floor until late fall, and if the pace of the health care legislation is slow, he does not expect the Senate to consider the climate change bill on the floor until next year. Harkin said that Peterson could only do so much, adding that he believes he can add, quote, more allocations and allowances because every senator has farm and rural constituents. U.S. livestock industry officials are concerned about South Korea's plans to impose a beef tracking system on imported meat that is similar to the country's new domestic program. South Korea plans to impose the trace-back rule on imported product at the consumer level on December 21st of 2010. South Korea's beef trace-back system requires all cattle to have proper identification to be tagged and to be registered with a central data system. The U.S. does not have such a system, nor are there any current plans to build one. More than 100 developing countries, as well as China, are threatening to impose new restrictions on imports to address their eroding balance of trade accounts unless international financial assistance is forthcoming. In a recent declaration delivered to a United Nations meeting in Geneva on the state of the global economy, the Group of 77 Alliance and China said that in the absence of significant additional international support, developing countries may need to make full recourse of the flexibilities accorded to them in the World Trade Organization, especially with regards to balance of payments difficulties. And Doug Caruso, selected in April to run the Agriculture Department's Farm Service Agency, has resigned. USDA Press Secretary Caleb Weaver says there was no reason given for Caruso's resignation as FSA administrator. The FSA runs the Farm Commodity, Credit, Conservation, Disaster, and Loan programs, and has an office in most counties across the U.S. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Mark Report and Commodity Week. That second program is recorded at 4:30 Central Time on Friday afternoons and always posted to our website by just about 6 o'clock that evening. You can listen to it before it airs on any radio station at willag.org. That's willag.org. If you like or love the program, you can always sign up to have it delivered to you automatically as a podcast. Just hit the podcast button about halfway down the page. Again, at willag.org, there's a whole slew of podcasts you can sign up for there. And we sure would like it if you did. By the way, willag.org is all absolutely free. So please visit when you get the opportunity. Now up next, you know, it's quite likely the average cash price for the corn crop farmers planted this spring will be less than $4 a bushel for the next marketing year. And so will the price of the crop still in the bin from last fall from here on out. That's a very low price compared to this time last year and should, as you'll hear, cause farmers around the nation to reconsider their risk management options, even as livestock and ethanol producers breathe a sigh of relief. So the price of corn will be low enough to stabilize the livestock and ethanol industries. That'll happen with the average cash price somewhere below $4. It's nice, but won't make the corn farmer happy. Time and crop insurance should help take the sting out of the new supply and demand reality for the corn now in the ground, but that's not the reality for last year's corn crop that hasn't been sold yet. It will likely have to be dumped, says University of Illinois Professor Emeritus Darrell Good.
This really suggests that there's not much opportunity probably for a rebound in old crop prices. You're going to have to bet on some adverse weather as we move through July and into August for that to happen. So it says maybe wait out this initial decline in price. If we get some stabilization, a modest recovery, then we've got to be moving old crop corn. New crop, you know, we go back to the kind of the target of the benchmark of the insurance price. The initial price reaction, of course, put new crop prices well below the insurance price, which says now that maybe there's not much urgency in doing anything on a new crop. We'll wait for opportunities to be above the insurance price, or if that doesn't happen, then we look into the later after harvest for some potential recovery there.
The only thing that might just happen because of the report is an influx of producers willing to sign up for the federal government's new farm program called ACRE. They have until the 15th of August to get signed up.
You know, that's a good observation that this report suggests that corn prices during the 2009-2010 marketing year will be much lower than previously forecast. I think USDA was at 420. This may take 20 or 30 cents off of that forecast, would put us a bit lower than the average of the previous 2 years. And particularly for those producers in the Eastern Corn Belt and Illinois who may be looking at some yield penalty this year as well, that they're certainly likely to trigger a state level and a farm level a payment opportunity on the ACRE program. This puts it in much better light.
Fewer than 1,000 farms had been signed up for the ACRE program just prior to the USDA June 30 acreage report. Those wanting to learn more about ACRE and how it works can visit the University of Illinois FarmDoc website. The address is www.farmdoc.uiuc.edu. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support comes from the Westchester Group in Champaign, an agricultural asset management firm specializing in the acquisition, management, and disposition of agricultural investments for institutional, corporate, and individual clients. Information at 800-607-6888 or at westchester-group.com.
I'll be back in 2 minutes with a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast.
With his look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. Cook County Sheriff Tom Dart now says about 300 graves may have been involved at a historic black cemetery in suburban Chicago, where four people are accused of reselling plots and dumping bodies. The four are charged with one count each of dismembering a human body, a Class X felony. Dart says some of the graves were dug up and remains dumped elsewhere. He says in other cases the graves were pounded down and another person was buried on top. During the news conference at Burr Oak Cemetery, the Reverend Jesse Jackson said his phone has been ringing off the hook with calls from worried family members. Jackson says the accused deserve, quote, a special place in hell. State regulators have approved a Canadian company's plan to build a 170-mile oil pipeline underground. The Illinois Commerce Commission yesterday gave the nod to Enbridge Incorporated's application for the pipeline. It's expected to run from the company's terminal in Pontiac south to a pipeline hub in Marion County. At least for now, the commission has turned down the company's request for eminent domain authority, ruling that Enbridge should continue negotiating with landowners for easements on the pipeline. The pipeline's path would include parts of Livingston, McLean, DeWitt, Macon, Shelby, and Christian counties. A Vermilion County firefighter says he's seeing a trend of low volunteerism in rural departments, and that prompted the Catlin Fire Protection District to start a door-to-door campaign seeking more help. Deputy Fire Chief Ryan Allison says about 15 volunteer firefighters are on staff now, and that's created problems on recent fire calls when some of them are on their full-time jobs and the department has to rely heavily on mutual aid. The district also plans to apply for a federal grant that would provide college tuition reimbursement for a volunteer. Law school tuition at Indiana University could go up nearly 25% this fall, and other graduate programs might see double-digit increases as well. The proposed increase for the Maurer School of Law would see in-state tuition grow to $24,000 a year. Law school dean Lauren Roble blames the tuition hike on a downturn in the school's endowment, a lack of state funding increases, and growing expenses. Even with the increase, IU's law tuition would be less than most others in the Big Ten. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
Listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media, I'm Todd Gleason. It's a Thursday afternoon. Here's Mike Sola with a look at the growing area's weather.
Well, we had another round of substantial rain across the area, and it looks like we will see some more rain as we work through the weekend. Precipitation totals will probably be heaviest to the north, and there will be some locations that see high water marks as, again, the ground's pretty saturated across the region. And as more rain falls on that, just nowhere for the water to go. The crops will utilize that water in pretty good fashion in many areas. But again, especially across northern sections of Illinois, some streams and rivers may be get a little bit high. And the areas in the Wabash River Basin actually saw some 2-inch rain totals around that area, and they could see a little bit of high water. Again, not really flooding out any fields, but there will be some precipitation that does cause some problems in waterways. There's still a need for rain in portions of Wisconsin and Minnesota. They are still in a drought situation with a severe drought stretching all the way from the western tip of the Upper Peninsula into far eastern sections of Minnesota. But again, storm systems will continue to climb across that area and bring some relief in portions of the upper Midwest. As far as any areas that are looking at the potential for drying down in a significant fashion, well, it looks like over the next week or so there will be areas in the Plain States and getting into the southwestern corner of the corn-soybean belt, generally looking at areas in Nebraska, possibly into western Iowa. They could see some significant drying down as an area of high pressure will build into the region. Now, over the next week to 10 days, maybe out to 2 weeks, the storm pattern will veer to the north, and there will be some locations that stay well below average as far as temperature and wetter than normal as far as precipitation across the northern tier of states. And again, starting to stretch into the western Corn Belt. Areas could see some significant rain as storms continue on that northerly trek. Areas to the south in the Delta and especially in the western Gulf states, below normal precipitation is expected over the course of the next week to 10 days. Now, over the next 2 weeks, as far as temperatures go, the heat will continue to build across Texas and stretch all the way across the southern states into northern Florida and South Carolina. Areas to the north will stay below normal. Pretty decent weather conditions are expected across a bulk of the corn and soybean belt, stretching all the way from the Ohio River Valley across Illinois and Indiana The southern tip of the state will be a little bit warmer. Northern tip of Illinois, a little bit cooler than average in central sections. While we fluctuate back and forth, we'll generally have temperatures that are not too far off the average. Again, that's the expectation for the next 2 weeks. And as far as precipitation, we remain locked in with above normal precipitation stretching across most of the two-state area. With a look at the growing area weather, I'm Mike Sola.
Our thanks to weather forecaster Mike Sola from radio station WILL AM 580 in Urbana-Champaign. That's the flagship station for Illinois Public Media. And the closing market report, you have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.